If you're driving 60 miles an hour and you drive for 1 hour, how far do you end up traveling?
I don't know. I'm not good at math.
2 hours? 2 hours?
2 hours?
2 hours?
2 hours?
Man, welcome to the Rush with Kelvin Chaser, man. You know how we do it. Stop playing with me. Man, get out of here, man. Today is a beautiful Tuesday, and we're back again with another episode of the Rush with the Choosy Tuesday edition. And guess what? Like I said, I have a guest today, and we're going to talk about what we go through in life, our fear of life, man. And today's episode is the essence of viability. You know what I'm saying, viability, man? I'm talking about survival. I'm talking about survival and survival of life and fear of the future, man. And like I told you, I have a guest today, and her name is, you know what I'm saying, Bonolo Mabula, and she's gonna join us today. She's from Rustenburg, and you know how we do it, man. Stop playing with me. So, man, we're just gonna take a little bit of a break, and then when we come back, I'm gonna introduce you to my special guest today. You know what I'm saying, man? See you after the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Hey, what's happening? You already know, man. You rocking with the best right now. This is your home applies, man. You already know I got to do it with the home team, man.
Welcome back to the Rush, man. You know what I'm saying, man. You know how we do it. Stop playing with me. Man, get out of here, man. You know, I told you we got a special guest today, and her name, I repeat, is Bonolo Mabula, and welcome to the show. What do you got to say to my listeners?
Hi guys, thank you for having me on The Rush. I feel very excited. I feel very, very special because guess what? I am the very first guest on The Rush. So
she's the very first guest. She likes to brag, by the way. Well, I'm just kidding, and I'm very happy to have her here, and we're gonna talk about the essence of life. Talking about the essence of life, when I go down the memory lane, I used to ask myself, what is my ultimate goal in life? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty sure that everybody has that. You are being asked that question from your early ages, like when you are 10 years old, they start to ask you, what do you want to be in the future? What do you want to do? And I remember my 9-year-old self was very optimistic about this. You know, I'm pretty sure that everybody goes through that when they ask you, what do you want to be in the future? What do you want your life to be like? You know, and well, I remember saying that I want to be very rich and famous because, you know, I was even at that age, I was so passionate about media and things, you know, I used to say I would like to live in a Connecticut, you know what I'm saying? I would love to live like a king, you know what I'm saying? So like most of the people, they might have forgotten what they said when they were young. But that's not the case. I'm pretty sure that everybody remembers. So coming to that point, let's hear what our guest, when she was 9 years old, what did she want to be in the future?
What did I want to be in the future? This is a very, very odd thing because I remember the 9-year-old me was very, very intrigued by Destiny's Child, and when Beyonce went solo, this is all, I don't know how it'll sound, but 9 year old me wanted to be Beyonce's backup dancer. That is what I wanted.
So you wanted to. So your 9 year old self was only thinking about being Beyonce's backup singer.
That is what made sense at that point. That was the ultimate goal. That is what I felt like. You know what? If I could just be Beyonce's backup dancer, then I would have lived my purpose, and then I would have made it in life.
So let's say that you had the chance to be Beyonce's backup singer now. How would it be like?
Right now, yeah. If I have the chance, I will definitely go. I'm not gonna say no. I'm leaving South Africa, and yeah, I'm going to do it with passion.
For Beyonce,
yeah.
Wow.
Just to fulfill, you know, the passion that 9 year old me had. Yeah, I would do that.
Okay. There you have it, guys. She would leave us for Beyonce.
Yeah, I would.
She said yeah.
I would. It's my dream. Like, okay, it was.
So
it was.
Wait.
It's not my dream.
Wait. Okay, so you're saying that your dream was that.
Yes, for a long time I did want to be Beyonce's backup dancer. I remember even in primary school I used to have 3 dancing lessons. I used to do traditional dancing, I used to do salsa, and I forgot. Oh, tango, yeah. Just because I wanted to dance. That is what I used to do. So, yeah.
Wait, okay. That's the crazy 9-year-old Bono. That's the crazy 9-year-old Bonolo. So, you know, as time goes by, you decide to be other things in life. So let's talk about the 13-year-old self. I mean, like, by then I was still, you know, discovering to be an actor or a musician. You know, as much as there were signs and other things, those were not in my plate, by the way. So, like, even though I was doing the subjects, like my heart wasn't there. I just wanted to be in the entertainment industry. For that matter, and my 13-year-old self was still deciding whether to be an actor or a musician. And when I found out that you can be both, it was the best day of my life when I was 13. So, you know, while somebody was busy dreaming of being Beyonce's backup singer, let's hear at the age of 13, which what did she want to be? I'm assuming that you wanted to be, you know, like, now you wanted to be Beyonce's caretaker or Beyonce's dresser now.
No, funny thing is, when I got into my teenagers, I took a different switch. And then I went from wanting to be Beyonce's backup dancer to now completely wanting to be a doctor. Like, that was a different switch that I didn't know how I ended up there. But I remember when I was in grade 6, and then I wanted to be a dentist because I was just fantasizing a lot about the whole dentistry field. And then I moved on from that dream, and then I wanted to be a vet, and like for the longest time.
Wow. Wait. This doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. How do you move from being Beyonce's super backup dancer to wanting to be a vet or a doctor?
I don't know. I think it's just one of those phases that you were going through where now you're just like learning so many things about life. And then how I wanted to be a vet, I discovered that there's actually vet doctors in the world when we had our first pet at home. And
that's the story. That's the story. How every girl wanted to have a pet.
So, I think it got sick at some point, and my dad said, well, we can take it to a vet. And then I was like, wait, there are doctors for animals? And they said, yes. And then I decided, well, then I want to be that. And for a while, I ran with that idea. I remember I wanted that for like 5 years, from grade 8 up until I was in matric. That was my goal. And the fact that my sister, when she was in varsity, she had a best friend who was studying veterinary sciences. Yeah, that just made it like even more possible for me to want it. So now I had a relationship with my sister's friend, Sis Mariah. We still have a relationship right now, a good one. And then I used to like all randomly just make phone calls just to ask her about the whole veterinary thing in varsity, just try to get all the information that I could. And from the information that I was getting from her, it made sense that I can actually do this.
Okay. Like, I seriously don't have nothing to say, you know, because the passion that comes out of it from a 9-year-old Bonolo compared to a 13-year-old, like, the enthusiasm is still like that. It hasn't changed. So, like, she had two dreams. She had two dreams. Okay, so now let's take an 8-year difference. You know, I'm still 20, by the way. So, like, right now, my ultimate goal, you know, is not, well, it's still on the same industry of entertainment, you know. But sometimes, you know, I'm always thinking that years are passing, and, you know, I don't want to end up alone. Even though I'm still thinking about being an actor or a musician, I'm still chasing that career for that matter. But sometimes I just, you know, just sit down and think about finding someone to spend the rest of my life with, you know. Someone I would like to raise a family, and I would like to have a career that I'm passionate about with that someone. So, you know, when you start to be 18 or 19 or maybe 20, you know, you start to think about having a family or something. So, you know, actually, let me ask you a question. When you was 20, what the hell was going on in your mind? Because, like, your memory line is full of, you know, fantasies.
When I was 20, what was going on in my mind was just me figuring myself out, because that's when I had it's not my very first job, but it's the first job that I managed to keep and actually get paid, because I got my first job, I think, when I was 19, and then I got fired. That's a different story for a different day. But yeah, so that was the second job, or rather the first job, that I managed to keep for over 3 months. So what was going through my mind that time was just me getting my life on track. Honestly, I was just focused on myself and making sure that I achieve all my said short-term goals that I had like put for myself at that period in time. So 20-year-old me was just focused on just getting my life in order, and I don't know, yeah, I think that was just what was going on through my mind. And I think I was focused on that a lot because the fear of turning 21 was just like having a full day with me, because I was very, very scared to say, oh my gosh, I'm gonna turn 21 and I'm not gonna have this, but you understand, you count on all the things that you are not gonna be able to achieve when you turn 21. So I was just focused on reaching my short-term goals.
Okay, now that is how you think about the essence of viability. When you are 20, now that years are passing by and years are catching up to you, you start to, you know, think straight, not thinking about Beyonce's backup singer. I mean, yeah, right now I'm still thinking about, well, I know it's a fantasy, or maybe it can happen. I think about, you know, being Drake's producer, but yeah, I think it's something that I would have thought about being 9 years old.
It's the same thing as that I was going through it as I was 9.
Yeah, yeah.
Differences.
No, but
it happened
when I was 9. To you, it's happening now.
So. No, wait. I can explain.
It's the same thing.
I can explain. You see, now is different because I'm still in, coming from the sense that I'm still in the same career path of entertainment industry. You see, you is different because...
How is it different?
Because right now you're totally on a different thing.
Yeah, well, you've got a point.
You see, so like, I know that it's a stretch, you know, wanting to meet Drake and all of that. So let's just say, let's take another 8-year difference. I mean, okay, we'll start with you. When you're 28, how do you want your life to be? How do you see your life? What do you think will be going on by then? I mean, for sure, I'm pretty sure that I will be chasing and playing with my little baby. I just hope God will put my life in track and make me financially and economically independent. You know, it's quite a rat anyway. So I'm just gonna, you know, let's come to a pause.
What do I see? What? My life as?
Yeah, when you are 28.
I'm turning 28 in like a few years.
Exactly.
That is scary.
Exactly. You see, that is,
I don't... Okay. I when I'm 28, I hope I should... This is a big hope. Like, this is me having faith in God. I hope I should be married by then. Okay. I hope I should... Married or engaged. But I don't want to be still dating. And then, because I would love to start a family, like, before the age of 30. But, you know, you can't... God doesn't play dice. We make plans, but God leads the way. But I see myself married at the age of 28. And I see myself starting a family at that age. So yeah, that is what I see myself.
Okay, you know, if you are not thinking that you'll be having a family by 28, I'm pretty sure that I might as well say that you lost. Or if you're not lost, you know, there are those people that don't want families, those people that wanna end up alone. I'm pretty sure that I'm not one of those people. You know, I don't want to die lonely. You know what I'm saying? So, as we said, the ultimate goal in life, starting from the age of 9, you know, many of the younger participants just ain't sure of what they want in life, or they don't know at all. So you have to start asking yourself that, what do you want in life? Especially teenagers are too, you know, focused on living their life. You know, myself included, you know, too focused on living my life and all. But at the same time, I'm still thinking to achieve my goals, you know. And I'm pretty sure that all the late 20s and 30s are all about independence and freedom, you know. And travel. I want to travel, guys. And travel, you know what I'm saying. So, let's take a quick break and then we will be back. You know what I'm saying. And while you at it, make sure you put a love on this episode and a love on this podcast. And make sure you follow. And please follow me at Facebook and Instagram at I Am Calvin Chaser. You can check out Bonolo Mabula also on social media. You know what I'm saying. So, we will be back. Man, you know how we do it. Stop playing with me. Stop playing with me. Stop. Man, get out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Welcome back to The Rush, man. This is Calvin Chaser and I'm with Bonolo, guys. I would just want to say that she's a very fun person to have. This is The Rush with Kelvin Chaser, and it's the Choosy Tuesday, man. You know how we do it. Essence of viability, man. The essence of life, the essence of survival, man. You know how we do it. Stop playing with me. You know, get out of here, man. You know, I mean, okay, we talked about the ultimate goal in life. You know, even though we know that you can achieve your goals all in that, but the thing is, will you or will you not achieve those goals? You know, and I'm pretty sure that everybody is so scared about their future. You know, they say that when your dreams don't scare you, they are not real dreams. I mean, I tend to believe that because, guys, my dreams scare the shit out of me. You know what I'm saying? So which comes to the point of what scares you the most about the future? What scares you most about your future life? I don't want to answer that question. I really don't want to ask that question. You know, we tend to ask ourselves that, why is the future associated with trepidation instead of tranquility? We're always scared of the unknown, considering that we fear the future, or you know what I'm saying, or maybe it will be the mirror of our past. You know, because we are born to believe the history repeats itself. But human beings are not history. They reinvent themselves instead of repeating themselves. I mean, if you find yourself in a situation whereby you're repeating yourself, I just find a pastor to just, you know, bless your life. Ask God to bless your life. You know, you're supposed to reinvent yourself and focus on going forward. So what scares you the most about your future, Miss Mabula?
What scares me the most about my future? I think first and foremost, I would be losing myself, losing my values. Because if I could lose myself, then it means all the other things that I had planned to achieve or have in the future, I'm not going to have them anymore. So the biggest thing that I fear the most is losing myself. And the more you grow up, the more like you are forced to change, you know, certain habits, certain characteristics, certain personalities. And sometimes
talking about changing, you know, I don't think I would let go of playing video games, or for that matter, you know, some things you just can't change. Some things are part of you, you know. So even though you changed, what can be that something that you will never change about yourself?
One thing I will never change about myself. This is why are you uncovering all my secrets? I will never change dancing alone in my room. That one thing will never stop.
Now I'm thinking of, you know, when you have family and all of that, and then you're alone in the room. By then you would be married and having kids. And you will be listening to Beyonce still imagining that.
I honestly will. I will find the time to do that, because it might sound weird, but that is therapeutic to me. You understand? If I'm having a bad day and then I just close myself in my room and then I play whatever music that I want to play, usually the type of music that other people don't want to listen to.
I would say something, but it's okay. I would say something. Then what if you're dancing and your husband just barge in and find you on top of the bed, you know, being all Beyonce and shit?
I think my husband, the person that's going to marry me will know that I do that. Like, I think they will discover that before we even get married, because that is what I do. And that is something that, like, at home they are used to. They know that if there's music playing in my room, she's dead.
And speaking of your partner knowing who you are, I mean, I think that is the most important, well, second important thing. You know, it's love and care and your partner knowing some things about you before you even get to be married. So anyway, that's not the case today. The case is, what scares you most about the future? She was still on telling us what scares her most about the future, and I disturbed her. So continuing from there,
Yeah, as I was saying, what scares me the most is losing myself. And the second thing that always scares me about the future, and I think that is the one thing that I hate thinking about, is losing my loved ones. I fear facing the future without the people that I hold dear to my heart not being alive anymore. That is my biggest fear in life, because I just have a very close relationship, especially with my family, and then siblings even like more closer. So that is my fear. I always fear losing, especially my sister. I just can't imagine facing life without her. That is the one thing that scares me the most, you understand? And another thing I would say, what scares me the most, I don't want to find myself in relationships that don't make me happy. And I just don't refer to romantic relationships. I just mean friendships, work relationships, or business relationships. That is my fear. And I know that I sometimes struggle with letting go of people, even when I am supposed to. So that is my biggest fear. Sometimes I think, would I be able to let go of people? You understand?
Because guys, I just want to say that we have a philosophy of life. If you are looking for someone who you can talk to about your life, I'll drop down the numbers on the description on this podcast so that you can contact this lady. Oh my God. Give it up one time for Bonolo Mabula. It's so great having you here. And, you know, she's been preaching about life. I mean, you know, guys. And then talking about being scared of the future, you know, I tend to do some of the things that makes me a less fear, that makes me overcome the fear of the future when I'm just alone and thinking about it all in air. So I'm just gonna share with you 9 ways of how to, you know, stabilize your fear with the future. Mostly of what I do, you know, every time when I'm thinking about the future, I always, you know, get goosebumps and all of that. But that doesn't stop me from moving forward as a person, you know. So, like, the first thing that I always do when I tend to, correct me if I'm wrong, well, or put your thoughts in this, like, the first thing that I do when the fear of survival comes into my mind, I always remember that my worst fears will always really come true. Like, some things that we fear, it's just some things that are on our mind, some things that we just think that might happen, you know what I'm saying? And number two, I always reflect on the potential worst, you know, meaning that instead of me thinking about things going wrong, I always reflect on how good am I at things, you know. And then number three, turn my worries into work, you know. Instead of worrying, I work, you know. I work on things that I love, like making music, writing songs, editing and my podcast, and also other things. And then number four, focus on the moment, the hour, the day. You know, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. And then you don't know in the next hour what will happen. So, like, if you believe in God, yeah, guys, I believe in God. I'm a godly man. If you believe in God, you don't have to question everything. Like, most of the people are so afraid of what will happen. And there are those people that always say that it's all up to God. But in that matter, when they are afraid of letting some things happen, I feel like they're also questioning God, you know, of how he works. And then number five, I think about the last time I was scared of anything, which is all the time, but I also think about the last time I was scared of anything. And then I'm not afraid to ask for help if I need it. I always keep on asking for help when I need it. And visualize a number seven, visualize a positive outcome. You know, instead of focusing on negative things, I focus on, you know, positive things, the goals that I've achieved down my memory lane since I was 9 years old. And number eight, meditate and do so often. I always meditate and I always tell some people to meditate, that it'll help them, let alone the person that I'm with right now. I always tell her that to meditate and reflect on herself. And number nine is to always tell this myself that I'm the greatest of all times, you know. So speaking about what do you do to overcome the fear of the future? What do you do when you want to overcome the fear of the future? Well, I know the first thing is speaking to God.
Well, yeah, I mean, speaking to God, praying, it's always the first thing that I do. And what I also do, and I believe I'll continue doing it, is to constantly remind myself that failure will always be a part of life. And you shouldn't be afraid to fail, because either way, we are not perfect beings. So no matter how perfect we can try to achieve something, we will always fail. So that is one thing that I always remind myself when I am almost overwhelmed by the fear of how I deal with my fear of the future. I always remind myself that failure is inevitable, and I reflect on the failures that happened to me, you know, in the future, and I realize how I managed to even grow more stronger, how I even managed to become more wise through those failures. Yeah, so that is what I do. The third thing that I usually do is I always talk to somebody that I trust. Obviously, that is my sister. So I just open up to her and tell her that this is how I am feeling, and not because I want advice or anything like that, but just to get whatever that is stressing me out off of my chest. I just talk about it. I am one of those people who just want to talk about everything and everything. Calvin knows this. I talk too much, and then sometimes he can't handle it, but it's not the point. But yeah, I talk about my stresses at that moment. And the fourth thing that I would do is I always try to find a more meaningful thing in life. Like, there is more to life than us being successful. There is more to life than us being just like having all the materialistic things that we want. And another thing that I do is, this is one if I could say routine that I have every morning and every night before I go to bed, I have a gratitude session where I just sit down, and then it's either I say out loud or I write down all the things that I am grateful for each and every day. And that alone just helps me to realize that there's more to life than what sometimes we think we need in life, you know, to just be happy and all. So that is how I deal with my fear of the future. And another thing that I do again is, it goes back to music, but not Beyonce this time around. I love worship music so much. So I just go through my collection of worship music, and then I just...
Speaking about worship music, what do you listen to?
I listen to like all kinds of... You mean in terms of worship?
Yeah, like your favorite.
This is funny. I always have a favorite worship person or band every year. Like every...
Okay, this year.
Currently,
I mean, I keep on hearing Maverick City. She always plays Maverick City. And what is that again? What is the other group?
Elevation Worship.
Yeah, Elevation Worship. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that is... This year, that is my current favorite. Maverick City and Elevation Worship. That is my favorite this year. I don't know what next year is going to be, because I remember... last year it was a series of Hillsong United, their latest album. That is what I was on to last year. So yeah.
Okay guys, go check out Maverick City and Elevation Worship if you're going through some lot of shit that you can handle on your own. And guys, this is The Rush with Calvin Chaser, and this is the Choosy Tuesday edition with The Essence of Viability. Let's take a quick break and drink some water, guys, and then we will be back. You know how we do it. Stop playing with me. You know what I'm saying, man. This is The Rush, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Welcome back. Wait. Black up, man. You know how we doing it, man. This is The Rush with Kelvin Chaser, and we back from the break, and I'm here with Bonolo Mabula, and she's such a great guest today on today's episode on the Choosy Tuesday edition with the essence of viability. You know, talking about that, you know, surviving at some point, you know, you gotta explore the world, you know, for you to be independent and all of that. So most of the question that we keep on asking people and asking ourselves, like, I remember when I was in high school, I kept on asking, when am I gonna move out of my mama's house and live alone? You know what I'm saying, man? So on that point, the question is, at what age would you like to live on your own? We got a little bit of comments on this one prior to the question that I posted on Quora, that's what they say, and other social media platforms. So I asked a question: at what age would you like to live on your own? And many people came forth, so obviously I can't mention all of them. So over here I got Lay Fortune. He says when he was 16 he rented his first flat. So I'm just gonna read his comment. He says, I was 16 when I rented my first flat. Sure, it was fun and taught me a lot about bills, debt, and etc., and how to look after myself. It also taught me what I had to do to make it in this life, and how hard people work to keep a roof over their head. And now for the downside, I had literally no money because of the cost of living by myself. I was studying 3 evenings and 2 days a week, and my stress levels were off the chart. Sometimes I would literally cry, though pure frustration. I couldn't go home because there was nowhere for me to sleep permanently. Wow. I had been in care for 5 years. So that's Lay Fortune. And another person, that name is so difficult to pronounce, Swami Swana, she says, at the age of 18, I already passed out with a first class BSc special degree from Osmania University and was admitted as a trainee in the physics stream of a 10th batch of Atomic Energy Establishment Trombe Training School, later renamed as Beba Atomic Research Center Training School, Bombay, later renamed Mumbai. I was getting a stipend of 300 rupees a month, a principal sum in 1966. So after taking a few hundred rupees and boarding to train in a Hyderabad, I don't know what that name is, I did not have to ask my parents or eldest brother for money again. That's her. And another person, Julie Van Berkel, says, when I was 18 and I couldn't wait to have my independence, I had a bed seat and had to share a bathroom with 2 guys. Wow, I didn't know. I had no sink or fridge in my room and had to wash up in a tiny bowl. By the time I'd pay my rent and bought myself food and paid money into the meter, I had a few quid left to last the week. The irony was that I worked in a boutique but couldn't afford to buy the clothes.
that is funny.
But it was still so lovely to have the key of my own palace. Law. And this is Kelvin Chaser. This is Kelvin Chaser. Well, when I was 18, like I said, I was still figuring out how will I get out of my mama's house, you know. So By that time, I was still in high school. So, like, my first goal was to get a matric, you know, to matriculate. And that was my ticket of getting out of my mama's house, you know. And it was difficult, even though it was fun. But you can imagine, I was doing science. So I had to find my way of battling mathematics in school and physics and all of that. So it paid out. I managed to get out of my mama's house. I'm currently, you know, living alone and focusing on my career. But it doesn't mean that I forgot about home, you know. So I promised myself that at the age of 19, I just wanted to get out of my mama's house. You know what I'm saying? So many people have different views on this. They are mama's babies.
Why are you saying that when you're looking at me?
No, we'll see. We will see. And then we'll hear. I don't want to say anything. So there are mama's babies that feel like they still need to be close to their mothers. So come into that
point. Somebody's throwing shade.
I'm not throwing.
Somebody's throwing shade.
Okay, so let me ask her. You see, I didn't say anything. So I'm asking her, Bonolo, at what age do you want to get out of your mama's house?
Okay. So here's the thing. When I was in high
school... When you hear somebody saying here's a thing...
Let me explain. When I was in high school, I wanted to move out of my parents' house as soon as I finished my matric, right? And that happened. I did move out. And then not only did I move out, Kelvin, I moved out of Rustenburg, okay? And then I went to a different city, so I'm not a mama's baby, as you're implying.
I never said you're a mama's baby.
You said, well, you said it looking to me, and then you—that's what you constantly say.
That's when somebody is making a reference of the eye, not reference of you actually.
Okay, so and then I lived in Pretoria for a while, and then I went back home for a month, and then the following year. What happened? Oh, the following year. And then I left. And then I went to Joburg because I was still trying to figure out life and work things. So then I was in Joburg. And then... But I was... I would say I was in between Joburg and home. Because and then I would stay in Joburg for some few months. And then some few months I would go home and all things like that. You understand? And then the following year again, I think it was 2018, I moved back to Pretoria. Again, because now I got a job, and this is the very first job that I've ever got in my life, and I got fired before even.
But not that I'm laughing, but
yeah, before like even the first month, I got fired while I was still in training. This is a sad story, guys. I got fired on Valentine's Day. Okay, I will never forget it. It was the worst day of my life.
When people were on dates and. Vacationing with a vacation, people were busy getting fired.
I was busy getting fired. So yeah, I could say the beginning of 2018 January Feb, and then I left my parents' house. But then obviously I had to go back beginning of March, because now what was I supposed to do in Pretoria? I came back home, and then yeah, I've been home ever since, and I don't see anything wrong with that.
I didn't say anything wrong with that, so let's just pass, you know, for heaven's sake. Why did you decide to go home?
Well, I decided to go home because, like I said, there was no point for me to remain in Pretoria, because now I wasn't in school and I wasn't working as well. So yeah, I just didn't want to just be in Pretoria for no reason. So now I went back home, you know, to start from the scratch, back to the drawing board. And then I did that. And then I started looking for jobs. And funny thing is that very same year, that's when I started going to auditions. This is very weird. But like how I choose my careers and my decisions, it just happens spontaneously. But that is what I did. So mid-2018, I moved. I didn't technically move, but I was living in Randburg because I was still going to auditions. SABC3 presenters, which don't ask questions. I'm still here. I didn't make it, but yeah. And then I came back home because I didn't make it. 2019, I was still in my mama's house because now I had a job.
in Rustenburg. So I didn't see a point of me moving out, you know.
Talk about one person that reflects on her life, guys. This is her, and you know what I'm saying. So coming to that, we're just gonna wrap up with a question of, what do you think your life would be like in 10 years?
In 10 years? Well, obviously, I will be out of my mama's house in 10 years.
Well, talking about 10 years, she did mention earlier that she would have a family. So to add on that...
Yeah, to add on that, I should have my first child. You know, I should have a child. If not two kids, I should have a child. Yes, I should have a child, and I should be financially stable. Like, that's the one thing that we all want. Like, this generation is so obsessed with financial stability, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think, again, in 10 years, I believe I should have accomplished all the goals that I have, if not all, but yeah, I should be at least almost halfway there. And the fourth thing that I think that should be happening in 10 years in my life is that I should now be a woman that I've always aspired to be, you understand? And I'm not referring to success and all things like that, but I'm just saying my character-wise, I believe I should be more emotionally matured. I should be more... Not to say I'm not right now, but I'm just saying that is the one thing.
Well, that's how she's implying that she's emotionally unstable, which she actually means that she's mentally unstable.
That is not what I meant, okay? Because I am inspired by like internal growth. So I believe I should be more matured internally, and I believe in 10 years I should have a stable spiritual life. That is something that we overlook, and I believe it is very important. So I should have a stable spiritual life, and then I should have now overcame all my fears in life, like fears of failing, anxiety, losing people, not like reaching the success that you want, and all things like that. That is what I see myself in 10 years, and I believe that I should be mentally, physically, and spiritually healthy, to summarize it all. Yeah.
Well, that's her, guys. So I'm asking you, what do you see yourself? How do you see your life in 10 years? Make sure you drop a post tagging Kelvin. I am Kelvin Chaser on Facebook or Instagram, telling me what do you see your life in 10 years. You know what I'm saying? And make sure you use hashtag Kelvin Chaser, hashtag The Rush with Kelvin Chaser, hashtag Essence of Viability, and hashtag Bonolo Mabula. You know what I'm saying? Well, before I close this, in 10 years, how I see my life, I just pray to God that, I pray to God in 10 years time, I pray to him of stability, financial freedom, economically independent. This word, Mare, what can you say? English, khairat. So, economically independent, you know, living in my own house, driving my own cars, having a family. Well, if not a family, but a stable partner. And, you know, some things I just don't want to jinx. And I would like to say that, God, hope I'm going in the right direction. And that's it for today with the Essence of Viability. It was fun having you here, Miss Bonolo Mabula. And... hope you guys enjoyed this episode with The Rush with Kelvin Chaser, man. You know how we do it. Stop playing with me, man. Make sure you leave a love on this episode, and make sure you drop a comment on Facebook or drop a post and tag I am Kelvin Chaser on Facebook using the hashtag The Rush with Kelvin Chaser, hashtag The Essence of Viability, man. It was great today, and we will see you Friday with the Freaky Fridays, man. You know how we do it, man. We're doing music commentary, trends, and all of that entertainment shenanigans. You know what I'm saying? I would like to say that I'm very grateful for having you today.
I am very happy that you had me as your first guest.
Well, as my first guest, it's an honor. Yeah. You know what I'm saying. And you know how we do it, man. This is The Rush with Kelvin Chaser again. Stop playing with me. Stop playing with me. Stop. You know how we do it. It's The Rush, baby. It's The Rush. Optimistic, so
realistic. Always asking me about the things that I want. If I tell, promise you one thing, that I'm crazy. Cause they seem impossible, like flying up the sky. If your dreams don't scare you, they're not real dreams, please. Imagine if you fail them, you will never live at peace. Dreams without accomplishment becomes a nightmare. Planning a lot of things, will I make it to the end? Mama's so proud, now I'm scared to let them down. Shit is never easy, like my math in high school. Like playing chess with my granddad, always checkmate. Spent his whole life playing chess like it's life. Now he always tell me what I do, protect my queen. Either it's my mom or my girl or my sisters. My little bro.